I want to go, if you brought your Bible this morning, to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 2, and I'm going to pick up on something that actually I began to minister on last time on Sunday morning. I was in Kansas City, and that is the honor of God. Tell your neighbor, God is a God of honor. Amen. And so we want to look at this. I believe that the Lord led me as I was preparing last night. And so we're always open to the leading of the Lord, right? So we want to go over to 1 Samuel chapter number 2 and, you know, verse number 30. We were there, like I said, a couple of weeks ago. But go back there and look at this. 1 Samuel 2, verse number 30. The end of the verse, we won't take time for the whole verse, but the end of the verse says, "Them that honor me, I will honor." God speaking. "Those who honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Yes. Say that out loud. They that honor God, God will honor. He will. Praise God. Is that verse true?
Yes.
If that verse is true, then there is an honor that comes from God. How many of you know men have this honor game? They pass honor around between themselves and, you know, kind of, you do this for me, I'll do this for you, you know. But that pales and is very cheap compared to the honor that comes from God. Say amen.
Amen.
And so the honor that comes from God is on the level of God's ability to honor. And that is way beyond man's ability. And also, whenever God honors, he shows it.
Yes.
It's not just something that he carries in his heart.
Right.
Amen. It's not just something that he thinks. It's not a warm feeling that he has towards us. It's actually something that he demonstrates.
Right.
And when God honors and heaven honors, earth is going to notice.
Right.
It's not something that just, nobody knows if the honor of God is on somebody.
Right.
So we want to talk about this. When we talk about the honor of God, remember it says this is a two-way thing if you look at this verse closely. Them that honor me, so that's us giving honor towards God, right? Then he said, I will honor, which is a reciprocation, so to speak. It is a return on what we sowed. This is actually sowing and reaping, isn't it? They that honor me, I will honor. So when we talk about honor here, we're talking about the honor that we have towards God, and then also the honor that comes from him. Amen. So I want you to see that there's a two-way street in this verse. They that honor me, that's our honor towards God, and then I will honor, that's honor that comes from God. About a month ago, well, really now it's probably getting closer to a month and a half or more, the Lord began to show me the great need of some in the body of Christ. Now, I'm in the body of Christ, but whoever, all of us can move forward in this. That the need that we have, really, to be honest with you, to really grow in the honor of God in our lives. When I say that, I'm talking about this two-way street. Grow in our honor for God, and then grow in receiving the honor that comes from him. Because really, he began to deal with me that without this, we will really not finish the plan. We won't finish the course. You understand what I'm talking about? I've had for a long time, since... I would say the early 90s or something like that. It probably began in the mid 90s stronger. But I've had a great desire to understand the honor of God and to walk in the honor of God, both, you know, towards God and then also the honor that comes from God. If you don't have the honor of God on your life, you really don't have a life. You have an existence. But the honor of God on your life will do things and take you into places that there is no earthly way you could have gotten into. And so when I start teaching on this, you might be like, well, I don't know for sure what he's going to say. I don't know why I need this. But the Lord actually spoke to me and said, I want you to start talking about this more again, because this is a greater need than a lot of people realize. How many of you know you can have a need and don't realize it? And so I'm keeping myself right in there, whether I realize it or not, that I need to be taught along this line. I need to be taught. You need to be taught. We need to reach for more of the honor of God.
Yes.
We need to use our faith for it.
Yes.
How do we use our faith for honor? Well, we learn how to honor God.
Yes.
And he said that there will be a reciprocation of that.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And so go over to John's gospel, the gospel of John, the fifth chapter and the 44th verse. Once you start studying this, this is amazing how much the Bible talks about it. And so John's gospel, the fifth chapter, the 44th verse, he said, this is Jesus speaking. How can you believe which receive honor one of another? Remember I was talking about the honor game men play?
Yes.
Receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that comes from God only. Underline that, or however you mark things. If you got a, you know, electronic Bible today, highlighted or something. The honor that comes from God only.
Mm-hmm.
There's something that man can give you along this line,
yeah.
But there's something that comes from God that is much more valuable than anything that man can give you.
Yeah.
Say it out loud. There's an honor that comes from God only. Amen. And let me tell you again, when God honors, earth recognizes it. Amen. So we're going to look at this a little bit closer. In the Bible, we have a record of this. In fact, go over with me to Mark's gospel. We might look at this more later. But Mark's gospel, the sixth chapter. If you just let me get a foundation laid here this morning, then we'll pop the clutch. Mark's gospel, the sixth chapter, verse 1. He went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. The disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given him, or given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? And notice this is in his own country. And if you look at the other, in fact, the margin of your Bible might say Nazareth. That's his own hometown. And so, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. And so, we've got hometown people that know him after the flesh, and were offended at his claim of being anointed. And that these miracles were happening. They were offended at him. In verse 4, Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. In other words, you could reverse that and say, a prophet has honor everywhere but his own hometown. Among his own family. And so, he could there do no mighty work. Notice that. That's a verse people don't even believe. They think God can do anything. Well, here it says Jesus could here do no mighty work.
Yeah.
Where is here? Somebody said Nazareth. No, here is a place where there's no honor.
Yeah.
And that could be in your house or somebody else's house. It doesn't have to be your house or my house. But there's a place that God can't do things, and it's the place where there is no honor for God. And we'll get into what that means. But he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk, the Greek says, with minor ailments, and healed them. Notice. And he marveled because of what? Their unbelief, who went around about the villages teaching. So we've got three things here three words that stand out to me in this passage. Number one, we had mentioned up there offense. They were offended at him. Then Jesus in verse 4 said, a prophet's not without honor, but in his own country. So we've got dishonor, right? And then the third word that stands out to me is the word unbelief. Isn't that right? He marveled, verse 6, because of their unbelief. So we've got three things, offense, dishonor, and unbelief, right? And so you find that in this passage, these three things are mentioned here. But really, to be honest with you, when you examine, how many of you, let me say it this way, whenever I'll mention something here in a minute that'll make more sense if I back up and use an illustration. If somebody came and said to me, Pastor, I had a vision, and Jesus came and he spoke to me, and this is what he said. I'm more interested in what he said than all the things around what was in the vision.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I was in my bedroom, I was praying, the room lit up, something like that. That's all interesting, and we can see and understand things from that. But what did he say? What did he say? I'm not going to ask the people, how tall was he? What color was his hair? Did he have sandals on? Did you see the nails? No. What did he say? Now, they might have other things that they can tell me all about that situation, but what did he say? How many of you know I want to know what he has to say? Well, in this case, we have the story of what happened, and we have the record they were offended at him, and we have the record that Jesus marveled at their unbelief, but what did he say? What did he say about this? What did he say about why it wasn't working? What did he say? You know what he said? In verse 4 is what he said. Verse 4 is dishonor. No honor. Amen. Can you see what I'm talking about? And so in verse 4, we have the diagnosis of the problem in Jesus' own hometown. The diagnosis was an honor issue. The casual reader would say, well, it was an offense issue or it was an unbelief issue. Yes, but that's the fruit of a deeper issue. You understand what I'm talking about? If there had been honor, there would have been no offense and there would have been no unbelief. I said that's the fruit of a deeper issue. In verse 4, Jesus went to the root. I said he went to the root that was in the heart of the people at Nazareth. And the root was, which enabled the unbelief and enabled the offense, was that there was no honor. Amen. And so if you and I, because Jesus is not just weed whacking the problem here, he's mentioning what's the root of this whole thing. What's the root of that? If you and I can hear what God has to say to us about this issue of honor, it will begin to correct other spiritual issues in our lives.
That's good.
Are you with me this morning? If we can hear what he has to say to us, when he puts his finger on something regarding the issue of honor in our life, it'll change our entire life. And it'll show up, first of all, in our faith life, and it'll show up in us refusing to be offended. And then it'll show up in our faith working and the blessings of God being manifested. Amen. Amen. Time after time, whenever I've seen this in individuals' lives, I've seen it in my own life, getting these honor issues straightened up on the inside of me and others, getting these honor issues straightened up. Time after time, when that happens, it's as if faith becomes easy again. It's as if other things start working that weren't working. Amen. Unbelief is not the core of the issue sometimes. If you study the Bible very carefully, this will actually fix unbelief. And that might be something you don't quite understand whenever I say it. But how many of you know it's basically the foundational issue? Jesus is basically saying here, there's a more foundational issue going on in Nazareth than the unbelief and the offense. Because he didn't mention the unbelief and the offense, although the Bible says it was there. We have record that it was there. But what he mentioned was, like I said, if there was a vision, what did he say? What did he say? He mentioned the root of the whole thing. Amen. And this is something that, to be honest with you, I have longed to teach on in depth for a long time. But let me just say some things. There's some things that are hard to be uttered. Because it's such a big root in some people's lives. But we're just going to go for it because the anointing's on me to do it now. And so these are things that, you know, it's like a foundational issue. You know, if you're going to build a house, it's important that you put down a solid foundation. Amen. It's more important than probably most anything else, because if you don't get that right, then everything you build on it is going to be unstable. Right? It might look good for a year or two, but you get a few years of good deep frost heaves and stuff like that, and it's going to show up that there's something wrong with your foundation. right? And so don't try to build your faith life on a foundation of dishonor for God, dishonor for His Word, dishonor for the leading and dealings of His Spirit, dishonoring for the place that He set you in the body of Christ, dishonor for the divine connections He made you, gave you in the body of Christ, or anywhere you find God.
Yes.
Everywhere you and I find God, we're to honor Him.
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
I see God in you.
Amen.
Yeah.
You're worthy of being honored.
Right.
Right?
Amen.
So there's a lot we want to share because the Lord has put a lot in my heart. But this verse here, this 1 Samuel chapter number 2, verse number 30, it kind of says a lot of it all wrapped up in one verse. They that honor me, I will honor. Now, what was the result or the fruit of no honor there in Jesus' hometown? Well, it was, you know, offense and unbelief. We see that. But take it one step further. There was no manifestations of God's power.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There was no manifestations of God's power. So we could say simply then, and we can see this in many other places in the Bible, that honor will bring God's power into manifestation. Now, we got to hear that because, you know, we hear and rightly so, we hear about the faith side, bringing God's power into manifestation. Yes. But faith doesn't work in a dishonorable heart.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. There's no such thing as honoring. Let me back it up and say it this way. There's no such thing as being dishonorable towards God and your faith working real good.
Right.
Amen. So, praise God. Thank you for your enthusiasm. We'll keep on going. But we need to know that when God honors a man, He shows it. And one of the way He shows it is with supernatural power in manifestation. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There's the supernatural that will come into manifestation. And by that manifestation of God's power, He will honor you. I said, He will honor you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You and I want to see the honor of God. So now that gives us a little insight into how this happens. Now, okay, so in Jesus' hometown, there was no honor, and therefore unbelief was present, offense was present. How many of you know that those who you honor, they can't offend you?
Come on. Come on.
Amen. That's from this verse. Those who we honor, they can't offend us. The Bible talks about in Psalm 119, 165, I think. I could be wrong about the verse. But it says there, they that great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. People that love the word can't be offended. Amen. Offense is just an acknowledgement. I don't love the word. If I'm offended, it's acknowledgement. I don't love the word as much as I love my feelings. Amen. And I'm willing to give up the word in order to protect my feelings. But no, that's not the way I want to live. I want to live to where I'm willing to give up my feelings so that I can protect the word in my life. The word needs to be working in my life. And that means that offense cannot be a part of my thought life. I can't take that stuff in.
Amen.
So we'll see that as we go a little bit more. Now, this passage again, they that honor me, I will honor. Say that out loud. They that honor me, I will honor. How does He honor us? He honors us with, according to Mark 6, He honors us by His power and manifestation, doing for us what we can't do for ourselves.
That's right. Yes, sir.
There were people in that town, in Nazareth that day, that coulda, shoulda, and woulda been healed if they had had honor for Jesus and His claims of being anointed in their hearts. I've learned this. I've been pastoring for a long time, been in the ministry for longer than that. And I've learned this. There's always, in every service, there's always people that receive and there's people that don't. It was the same service, same power. Amen. Same. Everything was available to everybody. And some walk out and just didn't hardly get anything. Others walk out like, oh my Lord, it changed my life. It can't be that the minister was nice to one and not the other.
No.
Or favored one and not the other.
Come on.
It was what was in the heart.
Amen.
It was what was in the heart. Amen. And we can make those adjustments if that's us. But there's a passage in Matthew 21, verses 12 through 14. I won't read the whole thing, but this is when Jesus cast out the money changers, remember, out of the temple, and them that bought and sold doves. And he said, it's written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. You've made a den of thieves. And then notice verse number 14. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Notice when some things that had gotten in the temple, how many of you know today, you and me are the temple of God. When there's some things that got out, that had gotten into the temple, that were removed from the temple, all of a sudden the power of God started moving in the temple.
That's right.
Do you see that? The healings didn't take place until something got out that was hindering that flow. Can you see that? This reminds me of what Jesus said to Brother Hagin, that when honor and reverence are restored to the church, there will be a restoration and even a multiplication of the manifestation of the power of God. Amen. Somebody said, I don't seem to be experiencing much in God. I don't see him moving in my life. I hear these testimonies and things, and it doesn't seem like anything's happened for me for 10 years. We'll check up on this issue. Check up on this issue. And the way we do that is teaching, because in Jesus' hometown, he could there do no mighty work. We see him mentioning there was no honor. We see him mentioning, or the Bible showing us, that there was unbelief and that there was offense. And then what did Jesus do? He went about the villages teaching. In other words, it hit me. I don't know why I never saw this. It hit me a while back. He went around teaching. He taught on honor. He taught. See, he was bringing the cure for what was shutting down the power of God.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he went around talking about how, here's how you raise your children.
Come on.
Although that involves honor too. Yes. But he's fixing. He was teaching to fix what wasn't working in their people's lives. Yes. He was hitting the mark. And so I think he went around teaching on honor. Because that's the cure for this. Recognizing, teaching, what has a way. If, remember, Hebrews talks about it. Hebrews 4 talks about the word of God, sharp, two-edged sword. It's a revealer of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so teaching the word, it brings the reality of our own spiritual condition to us, makes us conscious of it, so that we can go, that's ugly. But that's me. That's in me. Amen. So it's a revealer. I think Jesus went around and he did that. All right. So honor has to be taught. We don't learn honor because we grew up in the culture we're living in. Our culture doesn't know anything about honor. Very little about honor, I should say. I mean, honor for parents, honor for authority, honor for the police. It's not completely gone, but there's a lot lower level of it in our culture than there has been and should be. And so in order to walk in proper honor towards God, we can't just assume that, hey, we all that in a bag of chips, because we're equal to everybody around us. Talking about the culture around us. The culture around us is not our standard. I said, the culture around us is not our standard. God's word is our standard. Hallelujah. So what is in the world is not really our what we should be measuring ourselves by. And to be honest with you, the church world as a whole has lost some things in this area of honor. And so we want to be washed in the water of the word and get our minds renewed to what God says about this. Amen. No matter how low culture goes, we're not going there. Amen. We're going to hold the honor for God that where it belongs, the honor for his word, the honor for fellowshipping together with his people. When God says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, for example, there's a lot of people that just throw that out the window. They don't honor God when he says that. You understand? But just because they don't doesn't mean we do. You know, if everybody got together and said, we're going to have a party and we're going to drink strychnine. Well, just because they're doing it doesn't mean I'm going to do it. Right?
Amen.
Right. So, praise God. Honor has to be taught. And it's so interesting, you and I come into the things of God with different backgrounds.
Right?
And I remember so we come in with different backgrounds, and we might have maybe an idea of what God asked for in this area. Maybe we have no idea.
Right.
But the thing about the local church is it's the pastor's responsibility to show people what does God say about honor so that we can all come up to his, what he thinks about honor. When Pastor Debbie and I started traveling in the ministry, right about the time we started traveling, and then later on, we got to know a man he was at that time in charge of RMAI at Rhema Bible Training Center, or ministerial organization. And so we had a bit of a fellowship with him and relationship with him and enjoyed his fellowship. But anyway, after a year or so, I'm just estimating, of traveling, I got back in town one day and I was over at Rhema, and I walked past his office and he saw me and said, "Hey, come in." So I sat down and I talked to him for a few minutes. He says, "How's it going out there? What are you seeing?" And so forth. And so I said, "Good, a lot of good things, you know, had a lot of good things to say." But he's the director of Rhema Ministers. Okay. Over the whole thing, you know. And so he said, "Well, is there anything that you're seeing that's not good?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "I'm seeing worship leaders split churches, and associate pastors take half the sheep and go down the street about a mile and start a church using another pastor's sheep."
Oh, wow.
A few things like that I had seen. And so we talked about it for a few minutes, and then he said, I said to him, first of all, I said, "I don't understand it." I said, "They went to the same class called submission and authority in Bible school that I went to. And we learned about submission and authority and ministerial integrity and ethics and things like that. And so I don't understand it." He said, "Well," because he knew us, because we had, you know, become a little bit of acquaintance, you know, knew each other. And so he knew our story, our background. And he said, "Well," he said, "I know your background." He said, "When you went to Rhema, you came out of a good denominational church that really gave you some good standards and had some respect for the things of God. And you came out of a home full of honor." I said, "Yes." He said, "You got to realize some of these people, they came off the streets 2 years before they came to Rhema, went to Bible school, and then went out into the ministry." They said they don't have the foundation of honor in their life like you have in your life.
Yeah.
Because I said to him, I said, that class made sense to me. I didn't struggle with that class called submission and authority because that's just the way I was raised. I didn't know it was in the Bible, but it was the way I was raised. You don't talk back about to your mama. You don't disrespect your daddy, you know. And so that kind of got into me, you know, just by the way my parents taught me. But anyway, I said, when he said that, I thought, you know, that makes a whole lot of sense. That helps me to understand. It's because you don't get it just because you went to a Bible lesson or sat in a class a few times. Now, you can get it, but if you have a history or a background of dishonor, it's going to take you a little bit longer maybe than someone else to get a hold of this. So does that make any sense? So we've got to teach this.
Yes.
But yet we need people's example as well. Praise the Lord. So let's get into this a little bit more. You want to get into this a little bit more? I found this, that one of my greatest needs in life, this is actually something that I've thought about a lot, and I'm going to say it this way. This is one of the greatest needs of my life, is me knowing who, where, and what to honor and do it. And finding out what does honor really look like. Because the Bible uses certain things to show us how to express honor. It's not enough to carry it in our heart. Honor is like faith. You can just having it in your heart is not enough.
Yeah, that's right.
And let me say this, like faith, it has to be expressed. And when it's expressed, God will honor that expression. Now it's not just expressions without having it in your heart either. It's just like faith. You got to have it in both places. I've been meditating on this, and I'm convinced honor is a characteristic of the new creation. Amen. Yes. It's a characteristic of the new. It's a very godly trait. Yes. Disrespect or dishonor for God, for his people, for parents, for those in authority. You could just go on down the line. Is a very devilish trait. Yes. Yes. It's actually rebellion.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. It'll lead to rebellion. So I found that this is a need in my life. I have a need to honor people in the body of Christ. The Bible says honor all men, doesn't it? But the Bible tells us there, like Romans 13, it talks about honoring those. Well, it talks about government. And then it says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute, honor to whom honor. So he's saying there are people in our life that honor is due to. And to fail to give it is to lose out with God. Somebody said they're not God. No, but to honor God, you end up having to honor people. You can't honor God and backmouth the policeman. Oh, I don't understand. That's not God. The Bible says, Romans 13 says, he is the minister of God. You know, some of these people, they get all offended because the policeman shot them. Well, it was you that started it. Why didn't you put your hands up?
Come on.
Rather than pull a gun on him. Don't look at me with that tone of voice. Well, they're wrong. Well, go to court and prove they're wrong. If they are.
Yeah.
I'm not saying everybody's perfect. You don't understand.
Right. Yeah.
I think we need to hear some of this sometimes. There's a lot of people that are in the grave because of dishonor. They're in the grave early, you know what I mean, because of dishonor. But anyway, but that goes into their parents didn't train them probably to be honorable towards their parents. So that bled out into other areas of life and so forth and so on. Can you say amen? So I literally have a need to honor people. I have a need to honor those God's put in my life. I have a need to honor authority. I have a need because somebody said, is it because the people have the need? No, I have the need. Yes, it's due to them, but I have a need for my own spiritual condition to be right and to receive the honor of God. I have this need. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody glad you came?
Yes.
Now, let's define honor. You want to look at it a little bit?
Yes.
Someone said, do I have to do this? Is this some sort of religious bondage? Listen, if you carry an honor in your spirit, you won't talk like that.
Yes.
There's a lot of people today in the church world that say, we don't have to go to church. We don't have to tithe. We don't have to. We don't have to. And just saying that shows there's no honor in your heart towards God. You wouldn't talk like that if you were honorable. Amen. That's the truth about it. This is not some sort of religious duty. This is something that you're to carry in your heart towards God because you have honor for God. Amen. And so what is honor? Let's define it. You want to look at honor?
Yes.
Honor, if you look it up, means the one of the most basic definitions is to value.
Yeah.
To value. It means to attribute worth to something or to someone. In other words, that thing, that, you know, whatever it is in God. Let's just keep it with God right now because it manifests towards men, but it will learn it about from, you know, showing it towards God. That means that thing, that direction from God, that instruction from God, that whatever God is in your life, that is a big deal to you.
Yeah.
Say it out loud. It's a big deal to you. Amen. It's important. It's not common. It's not like when God speaks to you and I, it shouldn't be like any other man speaking to you or I. It's on a much higher level, much more important. In fact, this is priority now because God said this, right? And another definition for it, it literally means to be weighty, to be heavy. In other words, when God speaks, it's a weighty thing with us. When God says, I want you to do this, or when God says, this is where I want you to connect up in the body of Christ. Right. I have a supply for you. I want you to connect in the body of Christ at this pastor or this church or some wherever God's connected somebody. Then that's a big deal with us.
Yes.
It's no small deal. We don't treat it like it's optional. Or it's not really important. No, it's a big deal. It's because every joint supplies. And he's giving us instructions because that's where there's a supply for us. And it's those who honor that actually get the honor of God. Does that make any sense? In other words, they start seeing the results of obedience to that. So it means, honor means to be valuable or a big deal. It means to be weighty. It comes from the old-fashioned balance scales where in the old days, whenever you bought something, in order to, you put what you wanted to buy over here, and in order to buy that, you had to give an equal weight of something over here, right? And that means the more valuable this is, the more weight you're willing to put over here. And that's where the word weighty comes or honor comes from. It means it's a weighty thing. It's an important thing. And you're willing to spend more of your life or more of your attention to it or whatever. Amen. And so if you study this very carefully, it means to have a sense of regard towards. In other words, this is something you have high esteem for, right? And so it includes reverence. It means the way you treat it is not lightly. You don't treat it lightly. You don't treat it as it's just an unimportant thing. It's a very valuable thing to you. Now, when you assess that, when we hear that definition, it's like, okay, good, praise God, I understand that. But in practice, it gets tight and it gets right. Can you see what I'm talking about? Let's just give some illustrations of this. So let's say you are it's Sunday morning, praise the Lord, and it's in your heart God's instructions are to don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, but you're so tired.
Right. Yeah.
I just been working so hard. I think I'm going to sleep in. What did you just do? You valued another hour or two of sleep more than what you would get at church. Spiritual things is not as valuable to you as the way you feel. Woo-wee. Can you see what I'm talking about? So these are the kinds of things that it teaches well until you examine the practice of it. And then you're like, okay, I'm showing my honor, or let's put it this way, my dishonor for whatever God's asking me to do by what I'm willing to get in exchange for it.
All right.
Some people they're not willing to sacrifice a few hours of pay for a few extra hours of work in order to be in church on Wednesday nights. So they've reduced what they're going to get at church on Wednesday nights down to, let's say they work another 3 hours. What is that? Whatever they make. Let's say they make $20, $30 an hour, $60 or something like that, or $90, whatever.
Come on.
That's what church is worth to me, $60. See, when we actually start looking at it, I calculated, now I didn't go back and actually do all the math, but I estimated the number of years, number of trips, and the value, the approximate cost of trips, and I estimated the amount of funds we've put out in going and being with Pastor Nancy. And I went, whoa.
Yeah. Wow.
That's how valuable she is.
Right.
Yeah. So that's how valuable that supply is to me. Amen. Amen. What I get in return is worth way more than what we've sown into it. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. No, you can be a bad Christian. A dishonorable Christian. God's not asking you to do something that he doesn't have something in it for you. There's something in it. Well, somebody said, well, you're preaching to us. We're here. I know, but I'm preaching to people that just like to stay home and watch the internet too. Praise the Lord. Besides, that's an old worn out line. I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. That's just a worn out old line. Why don't you just tell the truth? You don't want to. Praise the Lord. So there are, praise God. Anyway, I'm going to just keep on saying it. So honor has to be taught, right? And there is an honor that comes from God. So back in 1 Samuel chapter number 2, verse number 30. This verse, you know, they that honor me, I will honor. This verse states the law of honor. This is a spiritual law. And it also shows the reward for honor. Right? What is honor's reward? The honor of God.
Hallelujah.
The honor of God. I don't think we know what that means, and that's why we're not excited about it. We'll get to that as we go. But what is the reward? It's mentioned in Matthew chapter number 10, verses 40 through 42. They that receive me, receive them that sent me, you. They that receive you receives me who sent you, basically, right? And then he goes, he that receives a prophet in the name of prophet shall have a prophet's reward. In other words, if I send a man that I've called and anointed to us, I have people in my life that this applies to, Pastor Debbie and I. When God sends us those people, then he's sending himself. Yeah. Not that they're God, but you know what I mean? Yeah. He's anointed them with me in mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't anoint them with them in mind. He anointed them with me in mind. So whenever he sends them to me, he's sending something from himself. Right? Because he's sending them with his anointing, with his message, so forth and so on. Right? So those that honor me, I will honor. It's found here in Matthew 10:40-42. He said, he that receives a prophet in the name of prophet shall have a prophet's reward. Well, that reward is what is on their life to bless my life.
Yes.
And he said, it's for those who receive you who I sent. Right? And if you study that very carefully, it has to do with receiving in honor.
Yes.
So praise the Lord. So honor's reward is honor. In other words, that anointing that is on their life will begin to work for us.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it matters how we treat people. It matters how we regard people.
Yes.
I'm talking about the people of God especially. And so honor's reward is honor. When a man bestows proper honor, he receives honor from God as a reward.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, honor is a connector to the things of God.
Yes.
It connects us to the things of God. In other words, a lack of honor separates us and we fail to receive. That's what happened in Jesus' hometown. It was available, but they didn't connect to it. Does that make any sense? And their connection would have caused it to flow into their lives. Praise God. And so it's a connector. And to separate from the things of God means we will be deficient in spiritual things, which will produce a deficiency in natural things. I've said this many, many times. Sometimes people, they call, they want prayer for this, they want prayer for that, and their life is just is scattered.
Yeah.
And I told Ann, just start emphasizing to them that we'll pray with them, but that's like a Band-Aid on a cancer. Your real need is to honor God by obeying him and getting a pastor.
Amen.
Sitting under the Word of God, hearing what the Word of God says. Now, this would be true. Some people think this is all self-serving. This would be true whether I was here or if I was in Indonesia and somebody else was here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Me and Pastor Debbie.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
So we got to get our eyes on God in the man, not the man. So honor is a connector. Now, John 5:44, we already quoted it. He said, how can you receive honor? How can you believe if you honor one another, receive the honor that comes from one another, and not the honor that comes from God? And so God actually wants to honor.
Yes.
He wants to honor you and I. Well, I don't want to be lifted up. Well, God wants to lift you up. He wants to bring you higher in life. In every area. And he wants you to live the high life. Because he wants to lift you up with his honor. His honor will lift you up. Hallelujah. And so there is a place in God to where the honor of God will defend you. It will bust you through impossible situations. It will work miracles in order to bring to pass his will for your life. But that comes to people who honor him. Amen. Are you getting anything out of this? So honor is like a magnet. It begins to bring things to you from God. It is actually, it'll bring things to you that you could never earn, that you could never pay for. Not that we're trying to pay for anything, but it'll bring invaluable things into your life that you could never get into in your own. Amen. So Mark 6 shows us the high price of dishonor. The high price of dishonor is the loss of God's power. It's the loss of the supernatural doing things for you and life being hard because of it. Amen. Amen. And so there is a reward. There is a price to pay for not honoring. And so this generation is almost a universal Nazareth. You know what I'm talking about? They really don't regard. I've been in the ministry for 30 some years, whatever it is now. And I've never seen such disrespect. It used to be that people regarded, like if you're flying or somebody finds out you're a minister. Now, some people still do this, but I don't publish that I'm a minister, but sometimes people find out. And it used to be that they had regard for that. Now, they'll just cuss right in your face. They don't have any respect for the fact that you represent God. Why? It's not personal. It's about between them and God. It's not about me. I don't have to be respected by people. That's not my point. But God does. How they're treating me is how they're treating God. Amen. So that's kind of the culture we're living in. We should have nothing to do with this culture. If it's ungodly, I'm talking about. And so go to Matthew 7, verse number 6. My. We're already running out of time. Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 6, Jesus said this, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." All right. Give not that which is holy to the dogs. He's not calling people dogs. He's not calling people pigs. He's basically saying to his disciples, whenever there's somebody notice he mentioned holy things and pearls. Pearls are something that's precious. And he's talking about Jesus is sending his disciples out with precious truths, precious things, precious anointings from God to bless people, to minister to their lives, to break yokes off of their lives. And he's sending them out to people in hurtful situations, in traumatic situations, and that anointing is there to break the yoke. The word can change their life that they're going to preach, right? And he's sending them out with precious pearls. And he said, Jesus is basically saying, don't just throw these precious things just to anybody. In other words, a pig can't, if you throw a little, you take a bunch of little pebbles and throw them in there, that pig will, and he'll just stomp them into the mud. And he doesn't know, but you do the same thing with a pearl. He doesn't go, whoa, wait a minute. He doesn't take that one and take it over in the water and wash it off and put it on someplace. No, it's all the same to him. Right? Stone, pearl, limestone, sandstone, doesn't matter. It's all the same to him. Right? And he's saying, don't give, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He said, don't just give these precious things to people that they see no difference between what you're saying and what any philosopher is saying or anybody else on the street is saying. He says, these things are for people that have the capacity to value them. Now go over with me to Mark's Gospel, the fourth chapter. Go to the Mark's Gospel, the fourth chapter. This is a powerful verse. It's the same thing said in a different way. Mark 4, verse number 24, Jesus said this, "Take heed what you hear." Now you go back to Luke's account. Luke says, "Take heed how you hear." Now Jesus, somebody said, did he say take heed how or did he say take heed what? Yes. He said them both. Take heed what you hear. In other words, make sure that you're only hearing what God says and that you're not just hearing everybody's opinion on this. Make sure and filter out everything else and get your attention on God's word. And then once you filter everything else out and you put your attention on God's word alone, then there's not just, it's not important just what you hear, but it's important how you hear. Even if it's me talking, how you hear it determines what you're going to get out of it. That's what he went on to say. Take heed what you hear, and Luke's account said how you hear. With what, and it really, he went on to say how in the next part. Look at this. For with what measure you meet. In other words, the value you put on. See, a measure is a value. If I said to you, if you came to me and said, how wide is that? You're looking at something. You say, how wide is that? I said, 42. What is it? 42 inches? 42 feet? What are we talking about? 42 centimeters? What are we talking about? 42 steps? What is 42? See, I got to tell you the value of the number I'm giving you. A measure is a value. So he said, the measure you meet or the value you put on what you hear will determine if more is given to you or not. For to him that hath, in other words, has the capacity to value what is here, to him shall be given. To him that doesn't have the capacity to value what he has will even be taken away from him. So the capacity, listen, in situations in life, I need answers. You need answers. But listen, the capacity to hear our answer is a totally separate thing than needing an answer. The capacity to hear our answer is determined by our ability. Whether we get our answer or not is determined by our ability to hear it. Because the Bible says Jesus spoke things to people as they were able to hear it. As they were able to hear it. What does that mean as they were able to hear it? They had the capacity to appreciate and see it as their answer and not run off and say, I tried that. It doesn't work.
Yeah. Come on.
You know, Ann tells people sometimes who are in physical conditions in their body, she tells them, come to the morning healing class.
Yep.
Oh, I've heard all that.
Oh, right.
No, you haven't.
Yeah.
No, you haven't. No, you haven't. Not yet. Not yet. Not yet. See, that's common to you.
Yeah. Come on now.
Yeah.
Come on. Yep.
It doesn't have any weight to it.
Right.
To you, it's unimportant compared to your 2 hours of sleep.
Yes, come on.
Or in this case, not even that much.
Not right. Even. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Yeah, come on.
Wow.
Take heed how you hear. Don't hear it like I've heard this before.
Right.
Obviously, I haven't heard it yet. Brother Hagin used to say whenever he would get attacked physically, he would go back to the same scriptures he cut his teeth on in faith when he first started out that got him off the deathbed. Yeah. He'd go back to those same scriptures.
Yeah.
He didn't say, well, I've heard all that.
No.
No, he said, the power of God's in there just like it was back there to get me off the deathbed. It's in there. It's in there. It's in there.
Come on.
Amen. And here's another thing. Can I just shuck the corn a little bit? I remember, for example, people, I'll use this illustration, but I'll apply it to here. I remember when we started teaching and preaching in healing school, there were people that, because they knew of Brother Hagin's ministry, assumed Brother Hagin was going to be in healing school.
All right.
And so we come, they come to healing school, and they're all excited, and they come, and here we are, we're coming out, and they're looking at, who are you? Good morning. Our names are Pastor Jay and Debbie Eberly, and we're going to conduct the class this morning and so forth and so on. And they're all looking like, when's Brother Hagin coming? If they stay in that vein, they're going to miss their help.
That's exactly right.
Because their help is in the Word. And I found in the Bible, even God used a donkey one time to give a man a word.
He sure did.
I'm not calling myself a donkey, but you know. See, how do you honor it?
Yeah, that's so good.
Do you honor the word differently because it comes through one than it does another?
All right, all right.
Yeah. See, son, now we're getting down to the, down where the rubber meets the road. This verse is so powerful. Take heed how and what you hear. Take heed what and how you hear. Listen to the Amplified. Be careful what you are hearing. Then he's talking about the how after that. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you.
Amen.
There's more power in this word than we're getting out of it. See, the virtue means power, virtue and knowledge. Virtue is power. There's, in other words, the measure. See, how much we get out of it determines how much we value it.
Yes.
That's what he's saying.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And listen, he's saying here that thought and study ought to be given to it beyond the first hearing. Didn't he say that? The measure of thought and study. For hearing it and going away and forgetting it.
Yeah.
James talks about that.
Yeah.
Not being a doer of it.
Right.
We're not going to get anything out of it.
Come on.
It's not valuable enough to us.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So one of the things that honor will do is it'll bring invaluable things into your life. It'll bring in valuable truths. There's more to getting the word in you than just reading it. It's when the Holy Ghost prompts you, it's like, oh, he's got something for me here. I'm gonna spend my time right here until I get what he has for me. Because there's a value. And I did that one. First time I ever received healing, ever, to my knowledge, ever received healing, I had the flu. I don't know why I had it. It put on Jesus. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I all my years up until that time, just got the flu once or twice a year. And so I was getting the flu again. And this time, though, I had started getting enough word in me, and I realized I didn't have to take it.
Yeah.
And so I went over. Pastor Debbie was in the choir, singing in the choir there at Rhema for a period of time after we got married. I think before so, too, but we were married at this point. And she was going to church early to get, it was Sunday night, I believe it was. Wednesday night. She was going to church early and getting practiced, you know, in the choir. And so we only had one car at that time. And so I decided, well, I'll just take her. I'll get dressed for church. I'll just take her. And I'll, you know, rather than go all the way back home, it's just an hour or whatever it was, and then come back, I might as well just sit here in the parking lot. So I got out my Bible, and I just decided, I know what I'm going to do, you know, sneezing and blowing my nose. I'm going to get out and meditate on Isaiah 53, 4, and 5.
Amen.
Surely.
Surely.
Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses.
Yeah.
And I got so thrilled and happy on those verses
that
I couldn't hardly stand myself anymore. It's time to go to church. I looked at my watch, so I got out of the car and I said, Father, surely. And he said, there, I stepped up off the parking lot onto the sidewalk that went ran down to the door of the church building. And whenever I did, the Holy Ghost said, therefore, believe that you receive.
Yeah.
I said, I believe I receive healing right now because Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. And it was as if somebody got out a Holy Ghost plunger or something and it sucked all that out of my nose. My throat loosened up, no more scratchy, you know, itchy. And I was instantly healed and I hadn't even gotten in the church building yet. Why? Because I took the time to honor that word. I had already heard it time after time after time, but now I am actually valuing it enough. And my healing's right there. My healing's right there. My healing's right there. I tried that and it doesn't work. No, it doesn't work for triers. Honor it more than trying it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You getting anything out of this? So it'll bring invaluable things into your life. How valuable is the Word of God working for you because you honor it properly? It works for you, and you don't have to have an operation.
Yeah. Come on.
How valuable is it that it gets you out of a pickle you got yourself into financially?
Yes.
That's the value of the Word.
Yes.
It'll change our lives. Yes. Praise the Lord. And so I found this. The Lord won't force himself on us. He's a perfect gentleman. But if we'll value and honor his things, he'll come rushing into our lives, willing and ready to meet the need.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And he'll meet needs in our lives that we could have never earned enough money to pay for. That's the value of this word. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. What you respect, you attract. I'm almost done. Say it out loud. What I respect, I attract. Young people, I can look in your life at who your friends are and determine whether you value, what kind of people you value.
Yeah, come on.
Because that's your respect for that kind of person brought them into your life.
Yeah.
Good or bad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I value church people.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Yes.
Now, I'm not talking about I don't have association with other people, but I mean as far as fellowship.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who I spend time with. I value Holy Ghost people. I value people that value what I value. They value the Word. I value the Word.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's why those are the kinds of people in my life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If all your friends are carnal, then that tells me what you value.
Exactly.
You value carnal things.
Exactly.
Because what you value or what you respect or what you value, you attract. Amen. And vice versa, what you fail to honor will leave your life. Why do these carnal friends hang around? Because you honor them. You should stop respecting what they like. Start telling them, this is for some young people this morning. Start telling them, I belong to God. I love God. I love the Word. Let's sit down and read our Bible together. They don't respect that, so bye-bye. It's easy, isn't it? Quite easy. Well, they're my friends. And your point? They were friends. Praise the Lord. So what you respect, you attract. What you fail to honor, you stand to lose. And that's true whether it's revelation. That's true whether it's your position in life. That's true whether it's your marriage. That's true whether it's your money. What you fail to honor, you will lose. Amen. Well, I think some of you have come to the point where you can't endure a whole lot more. So we've, amen. Hallelujah. I keep attracting a certain kind of people because I value certain things. Right? Train your children this principle and they'll keep the right friends. Don't value somebody because they're the most popular kid in school. Amen. Pastor Ike said at the youth camp, and I thought, you know, that's a lot like Pastor Debbie and I's testimony. He said, whenever I was in high school, he said, they made fun of me. Pastor Ike told, they made fun of me when I was in high school because I was talking about God all the time.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, I found out recently most of them now are dead.
Wow.
That's way too young to die.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Wow.
Well, then why would you value that kind of thinking? Well, let's stand up to our feet. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I value the anointing on my life. I value the revelation that God has given me. Right? And so I don't hang around people that are going to strip it out of me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Word. You know, basically, 1 Samuel 2 there, it's basically saying we decide whether we have the honor of God on our lives. It's not just a fluke. Or just God picks some. I'm going to raise them up. I'm going to honor them. No, he's basically saying here, we decide this. They that honor me, I will honor. Amen? It's a reciprocation. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you today for the truth. It's a light and a lamp to our feet. It takes us into the right directions if we honor it and respect it. We thank you, Father. We thank you for help. We thank you for direction. Lord, we see answers for our own personal lives. We see areas to make adjustments in. We see areas, Father God, that you want to bring us into more. We thank you for your faithfulness. Hallelujah. We give you all the praise for it. Father, for teaching us. And Father, we see, Father, that we can measure in greater measure your blessings and your honor into our lives. So, Father God, we take inventory of ourselves and we began to say, Father, we honor your things more than the carnal things of the flesh. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. The measure I meet, the measure of value, the measure of honor I give to the things of God determines the measure of the things of God that come back into my life. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, if you know, whenever he deals with us, I want you to cut this off in your life. This, whatever, bad habit of spending 4 hours a day playing video games or, you know, whatever. He's not against video games. You know what I'm talking about. But for something he's dealing with us about. You know, our honor for that will bring the honor of God. In other words, he'll visit us in ways that he wasn't able to before. Because we honored him whenever he said do something. Praise the Lord. It's so simple, isn't it? So simple. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So I'm a doer of the word. Amen. You're a doer of the word. And so we're going to see more and more of the honor of God on all of our lives. Whenever we get ourselves in a pickle and God honors us and brings us out. That's what I'm talking about. Read read Psalm 91 where it says, with long life will I satisfy him and I will honor him. Woo, glory be to God. Hallelujah. So greet somebody. Tell them the honor of God is increasing in my life. I'm going from glory to glory and from faith to faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's a way he'll honor us. Whatever's going around, it doesn't get in our house. Economic downturn, flu, all of that. And we sail through life without it. That's the honor of God. That's the honor of God. Amen.